Praise God that he is in his holy temple this morning. And all of the earth needs to keep silence before him. We certainly are blessed today to be at this place again. Every time we have the opportunity to meet here, what a blessing it is. Because something is going on here that is not going on just anywhere and everywhere today. Truth is going to be told. We can't say that that's happening everywhere. Somewhere, sometime today, somebody is lying about Jesus. Lying about what he told us, how he told us to do it. And in the midst of that, we ought to be thankful that somewhere truth will be told today. That there is indeed a word from the Lord on whatever the topic may be, if it pertains to life and godliness and living for him in this present world. I'm thankful to God for another opportunity to speak to you this morning. I am well aware that we have a long day ahead of us, and certainly I want to encourage you to come back this afternoon to our 3 o'clock fourth Sunday singing here at Roosevelt City, and especially to sing these songs of Zion and to support Brother Otis Grayson as he speaks this afternoon for that affair. But before we get away to have a bite to eat and come back, I want to leave a spiritual snack with you today. It's taken from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, which has been beautifully read in our hearing this morning. I want to thank Brother Webster for that. Brother Barry for that. And that passage of Scripture speaks specifically to those who are called by God to be what Paul what Paul taught Titus is, among other things, a peculiar people. The sister passage for Titus 2, or one of them, is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, where Peter says in his letter that we are a chosen generation, with the emphasis on chosen, a royal priesthood, who according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16, can approach the throne of God boldly and with confidence because we are priests. We no longer have to rely on the priests to go to God for us. We can approach his throne boldly by ourselves. Then the scriptures teach us that Jesus takes what we've requested and puts it in terms that the Father can understand, and he advocates for us before God. The scriptures go on to say in verse 9, that we are a holy nation. Anything that is holy is simply set apart. So the scriptures are saying to us there, as well as in Titus, that as a peculiar people, we are set aside. We are holy to God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a chosen generation. And then the subject this morning, a peculiar people. Now, we are peculiar. And the Bible says that the reason we are peculiar, and the New King James says we are his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to talk to you this morning a little while about private property. Private property. We can go on and add no trespassing to that. Private property. No trespassing. You see, I use that because peculiar we need to explain quickly before we enter the lesson. When we talk about people being peculiar today, we're talking about people who are in some way or another eccentric or different than other people. People who are not normal. They are peculiar. But at the time of this writing, and even to this very moment, the word peculiar comes from the Latin word peculium, which originally meant private property. So even though today we look at that word as meaning somebody who is different in an eccentric way from everybody else, somebody who's weird, the scriptural intent of this and what those English speaking people thought in the 1600s when the King James Version was translated, the word peculiar meant what it means today scripturally. And that is not just a weird people, but private property. In other words, we are God's private property. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, the scriptures depict the church as the bride of Christ. The Bible says, John says, behold, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven like a bride adorned for her husband. You ought to know that the scriptures depict the church as the bride of Christ. Paul alludes to it in Ephesians 5:25 when he says, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church, you see the parallel, and gave himself for it. We don't have any problems dealing with personal and private property. The relationship that we have with the Lord is a very special one. And I will have failed in my duty this morning, my aim, my goal, if you don't leave here feeling a little more special about yourself than you have up to this point. Folks, there's something special about us. With God, we are his private property. I want you to hear this now. You see, because we're quick to put a private property sign on what belongs to us. We're just as quick to make it clear that no trespassing is allowed. That's the way we deal. We tend to label things to show ownership, so as to avoid any confusion over what belongs to whom. It's not unusual to see statements like mom's taxi on a car or a van, or Sarah's room on a bedroom door, or the name of a person on somebody's body. Denoting ownership. There are those who will fire on you for stepping onto their property. We take this very seriously. Likewise, so does God take us seriously as those who have been selected, chosen, as it were, by Him. One of the things that make engagement and marriage so special is that two individuals are saying to each other, after all I've been through, after all I've experienced with the opposite sex, you are my choice. That ought to make you feel special. Regardless of what you found out later, the day that he said, will you marry me? And the day you answered, yes, I will, is a special time. Because out of all of the other people around, you've been selected. Well, I want you to understand it's the same way with us and God. Folk, we special. God just doesn't marry anybody. He doesn't marry everybody. Luke says that there are some who don't even deserve to be in the kingdom of God. Any man who puts his hand to the plow and then turns and look back, Jesus said he's not fit for the kingdom. What he's saying in essence is he's not fit to be my bride. Because that's what we are. Oh, folks, you ought to feel special. You ought to feel, I don't care what's going on with you, you ought to feel special today because God has chosen you and me to be a part of his kingdom. A member in the church of our Lord. A part of the bride of Christ. So the Lord takes this just as seriously as we do our private property. So, no matter what you may think about yourself today, no matter how low your self-esteem, you should feel special because you've been chosen by God. If you hear nothing else today, hear that. I don't care who else left you off the list. You are special today to God because he's chosen you to be a part of his bride. The problem is we often want to be chosen by somebody other than God. We have our eyes on somebody else, as it were. But God only has eyes for you. Oh, Lord. God only has eyes for his bride. I want to make this as intimate as I can this morning. Because that's the tenor of the relationship in the scriptures. I want you to turn over with me to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy. And we're going to look at chapter 31 and verse number 16. Verse number 16, this is what the Lord says to the children of Israel. Verse number 16, and the Lord said to Moses, behold, you will rest with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot, with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. The Lord says to Moses, I understand that even though I've married these folk, even though I have chosen them, even though I have called them, I understand that some of them are going to go whoring around. That's the biblical language. We know what that is, isn't it? You know what it is to go whoring around. That's somebody who will be with multiple partners at the drop of a hat. God says to Israel, I understand that our relationship is a love relationship, but it seems that I love you more than you love me, because I'm faithful to you, but you're not going to be faithful to me. You'll play the harlot. You'll go whoring around with strange gods. See the context of this thing with the Lord? It sounds like a husband and his wife, doesn't it? God says, I'm not going to be satisfied with you whoring around on me. Oh, it can't get any clearer than that. Now, while we're there, let's go back and go over to chapter 32 and look at verse number 16. Look at what the Bible says about what the Israelites did, because see, we are spiritual Israel. His dealings were with physical Israel to foreshadow his dealings with spiritual Israel. That's who we are today. So what he said to them, he's saying to us today. Because he's saying still, you are a chosen generation. Whereas physical Israel was my first choice, spiritual Israel is a continuation of that choice. Do you work through everybody? Lord, no. I have a chosen generation. I have a peculiar people who are my own personal property. And then in verse number 16, the Bible says they provoked God to jealousy with foreign gods, with abominations. They provoked him to anger. Doesn't that sound like the relationship between a husband and wife? You're going to provoke your mate to jealousy. You go around flirting with somebody else. My brother Brian, you don't want to see Sister Connie flirting with no other man, because that's something that would cause you to be jealous, and you don't let her know about it. Now, I know, you know, when we think of God being jealous, it's not the same kind of jealousy that we have. See, in Galatians 5, when it talks about jealousy, it's talking about the jealousy that has a problem with what somebody else has. And may have a desire to have what somebody else has. So they are jealous of what somebody else has. But when the Father is jealous, he's jealous only when we give to somebody or something else. When we give to something else or somebody else what rightly belongs to him. That's the sense in which the Bible talks about God being jealous. And that's why in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 5, he told the children of Israel, I am the Lord your God, and I am a jealous God. Jealous is my name. Thou shalt have no other God before me. And when we do, it makes God jealous. It breaks his heart. You see, the relationship that the Bible sets up is just like a husband and wife with God in us. We can do things to make God jealous. And one of those things is whoring around with strange gods, strange teachings, everything but what we know to be the right thing. I want to make this intimate continually. Look, God doesn't want to just date you. He wants to marry you. And once you say yes, you become his private property. Just as much as your wife is yours and you are hers, you are each other's private property. Oh, I'm trying to fix this thing now. Remember that in marrying the Father, you don't bring anything to the table in this relationship. He is rich and we are dirt poor. We ain't got nothing that he needs. He's wise and we crazy. You remember we talked about that last week? Not many noble, not many wise are called. He's faithful, and we are unfaithful. We have no security or hope except in him. Now listen to the man we marry. He supplies all of our needs. He loves us intensely. That's the God we serve. He loves us more than we'll ever love him. He loves with an intensity that says, I'll be with you always. I'll never divorce you. I'll never divorce you. Even to the end of the ages, I'll be with you. You know, when we were in school, the best way we knew how to express our love for a girl, we used to tell a girl, I love you like a hog loves slop, girl. That's about the best we could come up with. You know, now I don't like the visual that creates, but you know a hog loves some slop now. They could understand it. They say, ooh, gone. Slop. Yeah, we ain't talking about slop for real. It's just a figure of speech. I'm almost where I need to be. When Jesus knocked Saul to the ground, it was for more than turning his life around. Jesus was protecting his bride, his private property. And he was saying to Saul, no trespassing. He said it to him in this way. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul said, well, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute. Don't you know you can't kick against the prick? So here's what Jesus was saying. You mess with my bride, you mess with me. You persecute my bride, you persecute me. Because she's my private property. You want to get knocked down, mess with the Lord's church. Mess with the bride of Christ if you're big and bad enough. Jesus said even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If you think you can fight with God, mess with his church and see if he won't knock you to your knees. Ask Paul. He learned firsthand that God doesn't allow it. God only allows his folk to be touched when he says they can be touched. If he doesn't give you the authority, you better leave it alone. Husband and wife were fighting fuss, but don't you involve yourself now. Don't you get between them and start taking sides. Both of them jump on you. Let them do their thing. You're a peculiar people. Matthew 5, 16, Jesus taught his disciples, let your light shine. Why? So that God can be glorified. That's why we're doing all this. We're not being holy and set apart and private property because we're nice. We're doing that so that we can bring God the glory. And then finally, I mentioned this to you once before, Isaiah chapter 49. Verses 14 through 16. Let's go there. And the message will be yours. Isaiah chapter 49. Show you how much the Lord loves us. Verses 14. Through 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. That's what the people said. The Lord has forgotten about us. But he says, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. Some translations has engraved. God says, I love you so much that I have your name tattooed in my palm. Ah, and you talk about folk having their boyfriend's name or their husband's name on their body as a sign of ownership. I remember, who was it? Holly Berry that married David Justice, who was playing for the Atlanta Braves at the time. And when they got married, she had his name tattooed on her rear end. Brethren, you got somebody like that. You got somebody that's a statement. That's a real statement there. Baby, I love you so much, I had your name tattooed on my chest. Of course, when they broke up, she had to go and find somebody to scrub that off. See, that's the problem you run into. But I want you to understand that we, as smart as we think we are, we didn't start tattooing. God said thousands of years ago to Israel, I love you so much, I'll never forget you. And to prove it to you, I got your name tattooed in my palm. I'll never forget you. Oh, we special this morning, folks. Your name is tattooed in the Lord's palm. I'll leave that with you today. And just ask you this. Is your name in there? Is your name listed on the palm of our Lord. If it's not, it can be today. Believe what you've heard, that Jesus Christ came to this earth, died, was buried, and resurrected the third day. Showed himself to multiple people to ensure that folk know he had gotten up. Well, that same Jesus we're going to stand before and give an account in the judgment. And he's given you the opportunity today to get your name added to the list of those whose names appear not only in his palm, but in the book of life, which we open in the final days. And if your name is written there, you're in good shape. If it's not, then you will be dispersed to everlasting darkness, devoid of the presence of God. If you're here this morning, come by confessing Jesus. And if you're not a member of the body, you need to be baptized and added to the body, according to Romans chapter 6. We thank you again for your listening to the message today. In the name of Lord Jesus, we leave you with this invitation. Shall we stand right now and sing the song of invitation?